This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 69.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I talk to Angela Henderson. Now, Angela is a blogger from Australia who has increased her email list by thousands by using online challenges. Now, before I get into the nitty-gritty of what an online challenge is, I just wanted to mention something exciting I've got coming up. It's my book, Your Press Release is Breaking My Heart, A Totally Unconventional Guide to Selling Your Story in the Media. Quite a long title. It's out on July the 7th. And if you're listening in the future, that's July the 7th, 2016. So I'm recording this in mid-June and it's currently available for pre-order on Amazon. So I'll put a link in the show notes. And I'd love it if you went over and picked up a copy. And just to give you a brief summary as to what it's about, it's basically a step-by-step guide to getting really cracking media coverage. It starts right at the beginning. So what kind of stories are journalists looking for? How to connect with journalists who are already looking for help with stories? Then how to put pictures together, how to write press releases, how to follow up with journalists, how to find their contact details, what to do if they ignore you. I think I repeated myself there, but basically all those questions that you have when you're just starting out with your PR. But also there's some creative ideas in there for getting media coverage that even if you're an experienced PR or marketing person, or you've got a little bit of experience even, I think you'll probably find some fresh ideas in there that could transform the way that you do your PR. So definitely worth a look, even if I say so myself. So as ever, I'd love you to get in touch to tell me what you think about what I'm up to, my content, my blog, my podcast. I'm on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. I'm on Twitter @Jan_Murray and I'm on Instagram @JanMurrayUK. And now on with the main part of the show. So joining me on the show today is Angela Henderson. Angela runs the website Finley & Me, where she sources cool baby products for mums and mums-to-be. And over the past 5.5 years, she's grown a huge following for her site. 67,000 followers on Facebook, 35,000 on her email list, 14,000 on Instagram, and 10,000, just 10,000, in her VIP Facebook group. And I've invited her on the show today to talk about a strategy that's worked really well for her in terms of growing her audience and helped her to add, if I remember rightly, almost 3,000 people to her email list in 8 months. And her strategy is online challenges. So welcome to the show, Angela.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Did I get all that right, by the way?
Yes, you sure did.
Good. So might you be able to start by telling us a little bit about Finley & Me and the story really behind your business and your site?
Yeah, absolutely. So Finley, my little one, was born just about 7 years ago. And when he was born, it was really quite difficult not to find products that weren't breaking or making too much noise. So I was on a bit of a mission to try and find really cool products that promoted education, nurtured imagination, and I guess really just created long-lasting childhood memories through play. And that's really how Finley & Me started. And it's grown, you know, from selling products to now having our blog and things like that. So yeah, so that's really how it all started, was because of the birth of my first child, Finley.
And so it started really from your frustration at not being able to find the right kind of products that you wanted to use with your child.
Yes, that's right. So like I would find something at a particular department store, I would get it home, it would work for a little while, or it would need, you know, batteries would have to be replaced, and then frustration, or you would run out of batteries, or you would get something and it would break. And I was like, surely there's other items out there that don't need batteries, that will allow kids just to kind of use their own imagination, and that don't make, you know, random noises at 2 o'clock in the morning because they're in the bottom of the toy bin. So yeah, so I was on a bit of a mission.
I remember that well. I remember when my daughter was a baby, like waking up in the middle of the night thinking, oh my God, what's that? And it being some kind of like horrific toy that was at the bottom of the toy box. And so how did you take that? I mean, we all feel frustrations about things that are happening in our lives. What made you take the step between just kind of like talking about it and thinking about it to actually turning it into a blog?
Well, yes. Well, I was in a mom's group and I guess we were all kind of talking about similar things. You know, what are you getting for this birthday, you know, when they turn one, and what are you going to do about this or Christmas? And it just, I guess, through conversation through other moms, it became quite apparent that there was, I guess, a missing link. So yes, it's not easy to find, I guess, niche products. Things are slightly a little bit more expensive because they're not mass produced. So it's also was quite tricky to find that balance to see whether or not, you know, the general public would pay for particular things. But really, yeah, it was just through, again, asking my audience, which at that stage was mothers and is actually still is mothers, again, what it is that they were wanting and missing. And yes, so through conversation, I was able to start, I guess, getting some data about how to start create the business.
And you started with a blog, did you? One that you made yourself?
No, so I didn't start off with the blog. The blog came second to the products. So yes, so it was just, you know, here are the products. I actually started off at markets and just having everything online. I went to the Pregnancy and Baby Expo here in Australia, where we go to all the major capital cities, which was a lot of, you know, work and took away from my family. But as we started to grow, I obviously had a great following with us, do you know what I mean, that was supporting us and, you know, referring the people onto us from their friends. So then I was able to pull back a little bit from, you know, having to be away from my family to do that in the weekly markets. And then I started, you know, getting the blog, and then obviously Google started to help me with, you know, some rankings. And then people started to find me a bit more organically. So yes, I guess it was a bit of a knock-on effect one after the other.
Oh, right. So you actually started kind of offline, but partly online by the sounds of things. And then...
Absolutely. So I'd started off with the market first. And as I was at the market, then we were building the website at the same time. But obviously I was at, you know, started, you know, face-to-face first. And then we were able to get the website online. And then that's when I found out about the expos around Australia. So then I started going to all the expos. So yeah, so that was, yeah, everything. And then I said, then the blogs come, you know, now. And yeah, so little by little, everything started to come together for the business.
And you were doing that initially. And actually, in fact, you still are doing this alongside a day job. So
yes.
This presumably must take up quite a bit of your spare time.
Yes and no. I guess, as you know, I'm quite a structured person. So my day's kind of rigid about, you know, this is what I do in the morning. So obviously when I wake up in the morning, I go to my, you know, government job for mental health. And then when I'm with the kids from in the afternoon, from when we pick them up until the time they go to bed, I make sure that my phones are off, the computers are off, and my time is really spent on them. So I'm really big about quality versus quantity of time with the family. And then at nighttime, I'm very lucky, I guess, in some ways. My husband goes to bed at 7:30 at night, which, you know, allows me 3 to 4 good quality hours to crank work out. And what I found over the years is those 4 hours, I'm probably a lot more productive because I know I only have 4 hours to do things than I am if I probably sit around with 8 hours going, okay, I'll just, I don't know, hop on and look at Facebook for a little bit longer. So I only know I've got a short amount of time to, you know, churn certain tasks.
Yeah. And I guess I know that a lot of my listeners, they've got side businesses or they're building things up on the side, getting ready to leave a full-time job. So I think they'll find that really inspiring. And also to know that you can do all of this, because when they come to your website and see, you know, it's full of products, you've got this amazing blog and you're going to tell us all about those challenges, but you're doing that in your evenings makes it even more impressive. But when we go to a website like yours, it's easy to kind of assume that it's always looked the way it does. It's always kind of been busy and that you've always had this kind of massive email list and following on social media. But I guess it wasn't always like that. Can you tell us about the early days about trying to get engagement with your website and trying to get people to engage with you online?
Yes, absolutely. So I guess for me, relationships are key, as I mentioned earlier. So for me, it was about when I was at, you know, the markets or the pregnancy and baby expos, I was starting to, I guess, build those relationships and align myself with people, do you know what I mean, who were in similar, I guess, spaces. So when we started to go to the pregnancy and baby expos, you could do giveaways with people. So I would team up with a couple other businesses. We'd all throw in some product together. But again, we were gathering email addresses that were relevant to our niche market and we weren't competing against each other. So I guess through going to the expos and then going through the markets, we were able to start growing not only our Facebook, but also obviously our email list. And now through time, you know, we have autoresponders. We have different opt-ins on our website when you go there that are applicable to our particular niche market. And through those, do you mean particular, I guess, opt-in options, we're able to start to grow our email lists.
Yeah. And we can break that down in a second for people who are kind of new. I know that I've got some listeners who are fairly new even to email marketing.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
But it sounds like me, when I first started building my email list, how many years ago, I quite literally would go to a training course and I would like get people to write their email address down for me and,
yes,
and pass it on
too.
To, you know, scraps. I used to go home with scraps of paper or things on the back of business cards. And I literally used to just put it on a spreadsheet and I would send out emails from my Gmail address. Like I started running events like 5 or 6 years ago when I was still very much working full-time as a journalist, but I was running these events on the side and my email list was literally just, you know, I'd meet somebody, I'd get their business card or I'd just get them to scribble down their address on a piece of paper and then I'd get home and email them. And it sounds like yours started the same, quite kind of organically.
Absolutely. It was just, you know, on the back of a plastic clipboard and a pencil or pen. I think at one stage I even had a crayon because we had ran out of pencils and pens. Like, it was just kind of like whatever you could get your hands on. But for me, it was about nurturing those relationships right from the beginning. So even though the email lists were small, people were just as important as they are now. So I think that's one of the biggest things if I could say to people is, you know, make sure you continue to take care of those individuals that are on your email list, because really they're giving you permission to contact them really by mail, which is, you know, I know it's shifted a little bit by sending them a letter in the mail, but it's very much in our day and age, you know, if you can get someone's email address, yeah, they're giving you permission to, yeah, they want to hear from you. So I think it's important to nurture those relationships.
Yeah. And can you tell us a little bit about how you moved on from that kind of, you know, homemade email address, like emailing somebody from, I don't know, Hotmail or Gmail address or whatever, and started to step things up? Like, when did you first start to use more sophisticated email software, and how have you progressed from there?
Yep. So really it came down to the pregnancy and baby expos were the first that introduced me to, I guess, making things a lot easier. When people would come through the pregnancy and baby expos, they were given a QR reader scan code. Mm-hmm. And then obviously at each of our particular stalls, there was the reader to read the or to scan those codes in. And then at the end of the expo, they would give you your particular, I guess, email addresses that you were able to export based on them giving permission by using the scanner. So it was really quite sophisticated. It was so much easier. You just got this email list. You popped it into your, I think I was using Mad Mimi back then, and you then sent the emails out. So it was, yeah, thanks to them. The other thing that I utilized was a Raffle Copter, which is an app that you can use to do giveaways with. And it's another platform you just pop that you want to gather their email address as a, I guess, mandatory option. And that's really good because, again, it just gives you a spreadsheet at the very end. You export your emails. And yeah, people have obviously given permission because they wouldn't put their email address if they didn't want to. And then, yeah, you're able to start contacting them. So really, those are my two main platforms.
And they were your sort of way. What was the thing that you mentioned, the app, the way you collected people's email addresses?
Yep. So Raffle Copter.
Right.
So it's an American app. It's still used, you know, all the time. I'm using one right now in another giveaway with Peppa Pig. We're working with a company now to give tickets away. So people just have to sign up, and then you can do it in a variety of ways. You might only make them like your Instagram page or go and visit your Facebook page. It just depends on what is most important to you that you want to gather in that giveaway. So normally what we're finding is, yes, it's great to have people on your social media platforms. But again, I go back to, you know, some of the stuff that Pat Flynn talks about or Chris Decker talks about. And really, your email list is gold. So I tend to nurture more on the email side of things. And just, yeah, if my Instagram grows, great. And if Facebook grows, great. But I'm really, I guess, I focus more on the email list.
And the Raffle Copter will collect email addresses for you. Is that, have I got that right? I've never heard of that one before.
Yep, that's correct. So what we do with Raffle Copter is you create like a new blog post, and then you can embed the code from Raffle Copter in there. So when you promote it on your social media platforms, obviously they then go back to your blog and have to enter on your blog. So not only, it's kind of a win-win. They're going to gather the data for you, but you're getting organic traffic through to your site. And what we know is by doing a new organic blog post, Facebook also likes that because it's organic content. So it's really a win-win.
Right. Okay. I'm going to have to definitely look into that, and I will link to it in the show notes. So if you haven't heard of it like I hadn't, then you can go and find out more, and I certainly shall be. And when did you start using, I mean, I use Infusionsoft now. People probably heard me talk about this, otherwise known as Confusionsoft sometimes. But I started off, I think I was basically just using my email address and just blasting emails to people. But it actually worked quite well because I was basically, it was the principles of content marketing, I guess. I was sending people content that they found valuable, and I was inviting them to events that were relevant to them. So actually just sending out emails from my Gmail address initially was absolutely fine. And I think I filled up an event with 130 people paying like $200 or $300
a
ticket.
That's great.
Like off the basis of like just Gmail, because my email list was right. You know, I'd found the right people and I'd collected the right people. However, it got to the point when, you know, I started hearing about people, you know, you can automate your emails and you can have email responders, you know, auto-responder sequences so that when somebody signs up to your email list, then you can send them a series of, you know, 5 or 6 useful emails to keep them warm until, you know, you've got something to sell to them or you want to get back in touch about something else. So I think I started off with MailerLite, I think, but then I think my email list got too big and I had to pay for it. And I think I tried out MailChimp for a little while. But then I took the plunge to Infusionsoft because you can do so many sophisticated things with Infusionsoft. You know, you can or you can set up these really kind of complicated campaigns that send people, you know, if they do take this action, then you can send them down one path. If they do something else, you can send them another. I'm doing a webinar today. I was telling you about it before we got on the call. And it means that, you know, we can send like different kind of series of emails according to whether people show up to the webinar live or not, and all this kind of stuff. So that really appealed to me. But obviously, this is like years on from, you know, I think only 3 or 4 years ago, I was probably still sending out my shoddy Gmail mailings.
Yes.
But what about you? Can you tell us a little bit about the software that you use in your email marketing?
I've always used Mad Mimi, which is a platform from the United States, but it was only probably 45 days ago I've switched over to ConvertKit because coming back from Tropical Think Tank.
And what was it? I've never heard of the other one. Is it? Did you say it's Mad Mimi or Mad?
Mad, so M-A-D,
yeah.
And then M-I-M-I, Mad Mimi. But for what you get with Mad Mimi to ConvertKit, the price is probably roughly the same for this particular, like for our email list. But ConvertKit, I guess, is just that one step up from a sophisticated, I guess, approach. And like you said, you're able to set up your, they're called an autoresponder. So when someone signs up, you just tag them. So let's just say you were signing up to our opt-in, which is our kids' free recipe book. We then have 5 emails that go up with that sign up. So on day one, they'll get an email, you know, hi, I'm Angela, this is where I'm from. Day two, you know, they'll get a little bit more and so on and so on. So ConvertKit does it really, really easily once you get your head around it. So for those that have never done it before, it can be slightly confusing, slightly maybe disheartening, but I promise you, if you stick with ConvertKit, absolutely, hands down, brilliant. I can't, you know, speak more highly of them.
And the thing is with email marketing, I think the thing is I'm very good at knowing what I want it to do. So I have a Jo who helps me with my marketing. She's an Infusionsoft specialist. So she kind of does does the complicated campaigns. But I think if you can get focused on what it is you actually want to achieve and then try not to get too bogged down in kind of how it works, because you can always get help with that, I think.
But
I think
exactly
just,
right.
But just being kind of focused on this is the kind of value I want to offer people through my email list, or these are the kind of, you know, sales funnels that I want to set up, and then try not to let it put you off and just get going with it, I guess. And so now you're using ConvertKit, and obviously you're quite new to that. Can you just quickly tell us, before we get into challenges, I know that's the main focus, but I'm just interested in how you'd already presumably grown your email list quite, you know, had quite a decent sized email list anyway before you started these challenges. What sort of things were you doing to get people on your email list before that?
Yeah, so really it came down to, you know, the giveaways, having people do some promotion stuff for us and teaming up with other businesses to promote, you know, if I was, I don't know, again, giving, let's just say, $100 voucher away. Because again, my main focus was growing my email database, not so much the Instagram or Facebook followers. That was a component, but not my priority. So for me, it was just about teaming up with other people, doing giveaways together in my niche market, and it would continue to grow and grow and grow. So that was my main focus, really.
So you'd be over on Instagram or Facebook, mm-hmm. and you'd be telling people about these giveaways that you had, but ultimately you'd be collecting people's email addresses so that you could get them back to your site and keep
absolutely
in touch with
them. So part of their entry was to give us their email address. So, you know, you have to be mindful that the more hurdles you make people to go through to enter something, the less likely they are to enter and they're going to drop off. So sometimes you're going to see giveaways where it's like, you know, like this page, go over to their Instagram and do this, come back and do this. I found in the time that I've been doing giveaways that that doesn't work. Your conversion is very small. So I always say choose one thing, in my opinion. So my thing is always give us your email address by that. And then there's obviously terms and conditions that you write into it that says you are allowing us to send promotional emails and blah, blah, blah. You can, you know, unsubscribe at any particular time, et cetera, et cetera. So, and we definitely see higher conversions by only making people go through one hurdle than have to go through multiple layers.
Yeah, definitely. And it's quite interesting because I know that some of my listeners, you have a kind of very consumery business, but some of them will have like professional services, I guess, like I do. And I know something that I've learned along the way, people often ask this question. They say, well, you know, what if I'm going to do a giveaway, what should I give away? And I don't know what you think about this, because obviously this is something you've done a lot of, but I've always been sort of given the advice that not to just give something away for the sake of it. So, you know, I could buy an iPad and give it away, but actually it doesn't link to my business particularly well. So people will sign up and then maybe leave my email list the first chance they get once they've had their chance of winning an iPad. But whereas if I give away some coaching or something that's very related to, you know, what I actually do, then that can work much better. But I don't know what your thoughts would be on that, because obviously you've done a lot of this.
Yes, I mean, I definitely agree with what you're saying. But again, when I would do giveaways, they were with people whose audiences were mothers, predominantly for me. Whereas if I was doing, say, let's give an iPad away, and I was meeting with, I don't know, just say PR people, you know, so they're not my target population. And let's say I was giving it away to lawyers. Absolutely, I think it would be the wrong fit. But when we were selling, say it was, you know, seven businesses, we all threw in money to buy the iPad. Everyone's bringing in 200,000 moms, do you know what I mean, to one particular platform. Yes, some of them ultimately will drop off. But again, if you have a good sequence, you know, through your email response from your autoresponders, then naturally, yes, people will drop, but naturally you'll also get people who want to stick around because they're interested in you and what you have to offer.
Yeah. So it's about kind of continuing to add that value and making sure that you've got your email responder set up and you've got some good, valuable content to give them afterwards.
Absolutely. But again, you know, like I've done giveaways where it's just myself, where I may have people say it on Facebook, where we've got, you know, 67,000 fans or whatever, but they might not be on my email database. So sometimes it just might be me giving away, I don't know, four $50 Finley and Me vouchers to use at our store. And again, quality versus quantity. So I might only get 100 new people, but that 100 people already follow me and know me. So my sale to them, my pitch to them isn't as hard because they already have a relationship with me.
Mm. Yeah, it's really interesting. And I know I heard, we were talking before we got on the call, and I should have said actually at the beginning that I met Angela at Tropical Think Tank, and I've had a few guests. So that's Chris Ducker's 5-day mastermind in the Philippines. I've had quite a few guests now because I've met some amazing people when I was there. And Jada Selner from Simple Green Smoothies was one of the speakers there, who we both, I think, thought was amazing and loved her stuff. And she was talking about giveaways in her talk, and she was talking about how, for them, obviously, they gave away blenders, didn't they? And they gave away, was it mainly blenders and things like that they gave away, didn't they?
Blenders and cookbooks, I believe.
Cookbooks, yeah. And so obviously that's very, very relevant to you know, the product that she was offering, which was this 30-day smoothie challenge. But I guess there's lots of sort of, I guess you've got to weigh up getting people on your list and keeping on them. And I guess you, like with all of this stuff, you've got to try things out, I guess, and see what works.
And that's all it really is it's trial and error. I also know that if you're working with, like, say, six or seven businesses in one particular giveaway, and all we're asking people to do is send an email, you also have to be mindful that then those six other businesses will also be emailing those people. So you also have to go, well, you've got to, I guess, you know, stand out to other people. So again, sometimes those smaller challenges with just a couple of people are a lot better than, you know, teaming up with a large group of people.
And one quick question for you before we get onto challenges, because I'm just curious, sure. This is something that I've not done because I've not been in that consumer space. But I know people will be thinking, so how do you get these big brands to work with you? I'm assuming that it's like pitching anything. You just reach out to them and you ask. But can you tell us a little bit about how that's worked for you?
I mean, again, I met a lot of people face to face at the expos and at the markets. Some people would reach out to me. So they're just kind of like, listen, we know of you, et cetera. Some of them would be my advertisers. So obviously people that I'm paying to do advertising, and they're like, oh, hey, we've got a couple spots left. Do you want to join in? So I guess it wasn't really one particular way. It was a variety of ways, but it comes down to relationships. So I'm in a particular giveaway now where I've teamed up with six other Australian businesses to give away five sets of family passes to Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig is huge in our particular, you know, market. People love it. And again, normally, for example, I would not sell anything commercial or would be attached with anything commercial. However, in this particular instance, the people that I'm teaming up with, it would be very silly for me not to, because again, it's a demographic that fits my niche. It's moms, it's kids, but also I guess my little girl loves Peppa Pig. So I've kind of got probably a soft spot there for that. But we know we're all teaming up. We're all getting, you know, the email. But again, it's a great group of people who I've been working with for a long time. So there's that level of trust. We know we're each going to, you know, send it to our email list. We're going to post it, you know, responsibly. Sometimes you might get people that say they're going to do something and then they didn't even post a giveaway once, but they still get all the information. So I guess, you know, it's through trial and error, but it comes back down to creating relationships. And those relationships, you'll be asked, or someone will say, oh, I heard you were in this giveaway, or I saw you do this on Instagram. Would you like to join us? And I'm all about, you know, reaching out and working with new people. Yeah. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, well, it was a learning experience.
And so interesting what you said there about building relationships and kind of everything that I talk about on the Soulful PR podcast, it always comes back to relationships. So it always comes back, whether you're pitching to the media, whether you're pitching for a speaking opportunity, whether you're pitching somebody to come on your podcast or blog or to do a partnership with you, it all comes back to relationships. It's really interesting what you said about those, you know, being at the expos, being out there, being at events and actually meeting people face to face. So it all seems to come back to the same thing. And are you paying the people that you're partnering with to be part of these, or how does it work financially?
Yep. So sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. So with the iPads and stuff, normally it was, let's just say, you know, sometimes there were like 20 businesses, and those were ones that I learned very quickly was too many people in a short space. But everyone might pitch in if an iPad or a computer, whatever was going for, say, was $2,000, you each pitched in $100, which again, if you were getting 2,000 emails from one giveaway, it was definitely worth your $100. By the time you divide 100 over 2,000, I'm not very good at math all the time, but it was a very small amount of money you were paying per email.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So other times, for example, the Peppa Pig, those tickets are going for about $300 per set. And we've been approached by the particular PR company, not myself, another business that I'm working with has, and they've come to us and said, do you want to, you know, it won't cost you anything. You just have to share across your social media. So it just depends on the particular giveaway about what people are giving away or what they want to do, et cetera.
Okay, great. I think people are going to find that really, really useful. So can we talk about challenges now then?
Sure, absolutely.
So actually, Angela reached out to me a little while ago and she sent me a Facebook message. And I have to say, I haven't taken action on it yet, but it was something that was kind of on my radar, but I'd not really given it too much thought. And she said, you know, you could do some challenges in your business, a 30-day challenges where you get people kind of involved in working towards something with you. And she suggested some really good ideas. So more on that in a second. But first of all, can you tell us a little bit about, I know I might be banding that phrase challenges around, and there might be some people thinking, well, I haven't heard that before. What does it mean? So can you first of all just tell us a little bit about, you know, what we mean by an online challenge, and then sort of take us through how to set one up, basically, you know, what questions you need to ask yourself, what you need to think about before you set one up.
Sure, absolutely. So I guess I first became aware of challenges from, again, Jada from Simple Green Smoothies at the Pro Blogger event here in Australia last year, not even a year ago, actually. So it's amazing what you can do in a year, I guess. And so she talked about challenges and connecting with your audience and doing challenges and things that your audience likes. So for example, Jada uses 30-day Simple Green Smoothie Challenge, which is just drink one green smoothie a day to help you, I guess, start to live a better life and, you know, better well-being, etc. However, I'm not obviously in the health particular market. I'm in the kid market. And so I looked at my first challenge was last year when I did the 30-day Christmas Cheer Challenge, and that was around creating childhood memories this holiday season. So that was, I guess, we promoted it in October and it went live in November. And then every day in November, we gave one actionable bite thing the family members could do to create childhood memories starting in December. So I guess we gave them all the content a month in advance so then they could plan ahead for December. Obviously, some people will use all the 30-day content. Other people will just pick and choose what they'd like to do. So I guess, how did I choose the right challenge for your audience? I go back to, you know, it's really important to, I guess, ask your audience. And I think so many times we assume things that our audience wants. So one of the things I'd ask my audience was what was important to them around Christmas. And they said, oh, well, when I was a child, I used to make sugar cookies and, you know, we had the Santa key rings and all this other stuff. So then I thought, well, hold on, if this is what people like, I wonder if I could start, you know, to create something. And so I guess you ask your audience in a way that you can ask your audience that you currently have that will help bring you on new people is just through SurveyMonkey, which is a platform where you can just create a quick, you know, even 5-question survey and they'll provide you with your answers. For example, I just did a survey overall for our business and we had over 600 people respond. And one of the things we asked them, obviously, because I do sell baby products and it's mothers, and I was thinking about my next challenge that I was doing. So I said to them, you know, what is it in a challenge that you would like? And the thing that they came back with is that they want me to do a challenge that will help to organize and keep their house tidy. Yeah. There's something I would never, ever in a million years have even thought about doing because it's not my specialty. However, it will become my specialty because it's, you know, I mean, that's what my audience is asking for. And I mean, it makes sense because when you go look at Google and you type in like free printables to help your house or free menu planners or, you know, free grocery lists, they're everywhere on the internet. So when you go to Pinterest, so it was very, very interesting. So again, how do you choose the right challenge? Don't assume, ask your audience.
Okay. And so once you've chosen a challenge, I guess this is where people kind of get overwhelmed.
Sure.
What would your next steps be? So you've got a theme for it, and you think you can spin it out over 30 days and you know, keep people kind of productive and keep it valuable. What are your next steps after that?
I guess I'll just back up a little bit, because I think it's important for people to understand what the value of a challenge can bring to them. So people, I guess, will think, oh, it's about growing your email list. Yes, it is about growing your email list, but it's even more than that. By creating a challenge, you're not only growing your email list, but you're also getting 30 days of fresh blog content that Google likes. You'll also be able to post this on Facebook, because Facebook also likes fresh content being posted. So it'll also help boost your reach on Facebook. You'll also be able to share that platform on Instagram or on Twitter. And you can, from there, evergreen it so that you can use it again in the future. From there, you're creating brand awareness about just, you know, who you are. You're also becoming an influencer in your niche market. But on the back end of that, I also create ebooks with each of the challenges. So by default, I've actually become an author now. So I guess I just wanted to give a scope of what the benefit of a challenge is. So I don't know if that's helpful or not.
No, that's so, so helpful. So yeah, once you've got your theme, what do you do next? How would you break it down?
So I break it down into steps. And what I like to do is for me, I'm a visual person. So I like to hop on to, you know, wherever you can get free graphics. Like Zumo, I think, is one I'm currently using. Don't quote me on that. It's a new one. But it's, you know, you pay $30 and you can have all these stock images, which is really, really great. So I go on there and it actually starts to help me to then decide what type of blog posts I'm going to write about. And so I get graphic stencil. I'll choose 30 graphics, which then I send to a graphic designer, who will size them for Instagram and then also size it for Facebook for me. So that's really helpful. And we just put, you know, day one, day two, day three, et cetera. Now, you can do that yourselves, but I prefer to outsource because it's not something I'm really good at. So by the time I do it, I probably would have spent more of my time, which is a commodity, than if I just pay someone who knows what they're doing. So I outsource for that. Then obviously I start to look through the 30 days worth of blog content that I'm going to be writing. So, you know, based on the images, I go, great, this is what I'm going to do. And I start to crank out, you know, some of those blog posts. And then once the blog content is done, I go to ConvertKit and we set up the sequence on the back end of ConvertKit so that it will automatically post to all those that have signed up for it. So once it's on there, I don't have to think about it. It's already done.
And in terms of, sorry, can I just sort of back up slightly? In terms of deciding what kind of content, so again, you're very much in that consumer space. And I remember looking at Jada Selner's challenge and thinking, oh, well, you know, she's got some lovely green smoothie recipes. And so she could, you know, crank out a recipe every day or some sort of tip or something. And, you know, I've got a very kind of service-based business where I'm dealing in information. And I know lots of my listeners will probably feel the same. How do you, because you said blog posts, which makes it sound like a kind of long thing, but when I've seen people doing challenges, often they are recipes or they, you know, they can be quite sort of short things. How do you go about deciding what kind of content to give people over 30 days? And does it need to have a call to action that, you know, people do something every day? Is there any sort of principles around what kind of content you create?
Right. So I guess people's attention span read lengthy things, you know, whether or not it's blog posts or whether or not it's a magazine, just in the world we live in, things are fast paced. So you've got to get people's attention and they've got to be small, actionable bite, you know, pieces, I guess. So because my target group is moms, normally someone might be breastfeeding, someone might be, you know, trying to cook while they're probably looking at our stuff. So I'm very mindful that I need to get to the point very, very quickly. So yes, when I say blog post, it's not a 1,000-word blog post. It's probably more about the 300 to 400-word post, probably. And then we break it down by task. You know, your daily task for the day is blah, blah, blah. And then that's pretty much it. So in the challenge that we just did, the 30 days, 30 ways self-care challenge for mothers, we just gave them one task. And people, you know, and it's a lot of it is evidence-based. So we know that, you know, people aren't drinking enough water. And by not drinking enough water, what does that mean? So people, it's as simple as that, but you should see the amount of response we got from people going, oh my goodness, I feel so much better by drinking water. So, you know, it doesn't have to be complex things that you're giving people. It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
But one simple thing, and that's why simple green smoothies are so brilliant, isn't it? Because it literally, I mean, Jada's business story is that, you know, she started just having one green smoothie every single day and she lost like 27 pounds or something, didn't she? Because she then wanted to crave more healthier food. Yeah, and I think that really appeals to lots of us, isn't it? Just like that one action that we take every day. I'm quite interested here from quite a personal point of view, because I've just introduced something in my Facebook group and in my community, really, where I'm saying to people, I've got actually my podcast episode that's gone out today as we're recording this is on this very topic. So it kind of fits in really nicely, which is on the daily pitch. And I've started using the hashtag daily pitch, where I'm encouraging people just to make one pitch a day. So it might well be, it doesn't have to be to the media, but it could be a pitch for a podcast, or it could be a pitch for a guest post, or it could be to speak somewhere or to do a partnership or whatever. But I'm just encouraging people to get every single day to get in that space where they feel uncomfortable and somebody might say no to them, but they ask for something basically every day that feels a bit uncomfortable. And people really, really like the idea. And I just kind of did it on a whim, really, because it's something that I do every day. And that's the kind of thing I think I could probably turn into a challenge. But when you were talking, I was kind of thinking, well, you know, how would I then create the different content every day? What sort of things would I give people to do within that kind of tight niche of pitching every day?
Yep.
So yeah, I'd be interested to get your thoughts on that, actually.
And remember, just because I do 30-day challenges, I know many businesses that will do 7-day challenges because it fits for their market, I guess. So for you, I mean, 30 days in your particular market with the PR side of things might be too long. You might go, listen, this is more for a mastermind class to get really in depth with things. But you might just go, you know, I don't know, 7 days to learn better ways to, you know, pitch to the media. And one day you might just talk about where to look for certain media. Do you know what I mean? Outlets. That might be part of it. Because if you don't know where you're going, well, then how can you pitch to anyone? So that might be day one. Day two, it might be how to formulate, you know, what type of pitch are you pitching for? Do you have a new product coming up? What type of story do you have? Do you have a new blog post? I guess, so identifying what type of pitches that they want. The next thing you might want to talk about is how do you formulate your pitch? You know, so that I think in one of your blog posts, hence what I've used to pitch you, do you know what I mean? Is that you've given me a concrete example about how I should format that. Four, you might then talk about sending your email, making sure that the spelling, you know, all those little things that I think a lot of people overlook. So even, and then at the end of it, you just create a simple, you know, at the end of the 7 days, you might create then a PDF that people download or something so that when they start doing it, they've got that tangible information right in front of them. So in your instance, you might not do 30 days, you might choose to do 7 days. And that's completely 100% okay if it fits for your market.
And essentially, I mean, I'm wondering if this might be the case for other people listening as well, but in a sense, I'm already doing challenges. And I guess,
yeah, absolutely.
I have a 5-day press release writing course, for example. And essentially, that is a challenge, you know, that people do. They get an email every day and they have to do one thing, and that takes them, by the end of the 5 days, they should have written this press release. So essentially, kind of already doing it. But my sense is with challenges is that it's almost like you do it, it's a kind of like an event, you know, you kind of get everybody on board at the same time. So there's a bit of a buzz and a bit of a community. Have I got that right?
Absolutely. So once we obviously, you've set up the challenge, so you've asked your audience, you've got the graphics done, you've written your content for those 30 days, you've gone to, you know, whatever platform you're using for email, so ConvertKit, you set up your sequences. However, I mean, people aren't just going to come. So how do you promote your challenge to get people to sign up? So I guess we always do a whole month promotion prior to the lead up. We obviously use our current social media platforms to get the word out. We speak with family members to get the word out. We use our current database to get the word out. As I mentioned earlier, we team up with other people that are in our niche or relationships that we have, and they share it, do you know what I mean, for free. This challenge isn't about making, I mean, you can, but I've never paid for Facebook advertising for any of my challenges. So again, if I'm doing a free challenge and I'm putting all this work into it, you know, it's just another cost, I guess, by the time I outsource someone to do that, someone to help, you know what I mean, write and help. I'll give my blog post information to people and I'll, do you know what I mean, kind of structure it. But again, I think it's important that for me where I'm at, it's, I do have a team of people that help me, you know, to help set up the sequence and the responder in the background, like your InfoFusion, is that right?
Infusion.
Like you've got a specialist that knows how to do that. Cause again, I'm not really good with the whole sequencing. I understand it, but when you put it out there, it's hard for my brain to figure it out. So I would team up with other people who aren't direct competitors. But the one thing that has been, I guess, my golden nugget for me is I join particular Facebook groups where I can share my content without being spammy. And I do that because one, and so my groups, I go to mummy groups all around the world. There are mummy groups in rural Australia. There are mummy groups in every major capital city. So I'll join these mummy groups, kind of lay low. And then when I have something that I want to promote, I'll speak to admin and say, I think this is a really great fit. Would you mind allowing me to promote this? Because I don't want to, you know, disenhearten your group or be rude or disrespectful. And I reckon 95% of the time they were like, sure, no worries. This would be great. So for me, I'm about, again, you know, self-care for moms. That could be anyone. It doesn't have to just be Australian moms. So I really went around and we were able to get just under 1,000 people sign up for that. So again, that's really been probably my biggest contributing factor is those Facebook groups.
And do you use a specific landing page to get people to sign up to in that month period before you have your challenge?
Yes, absolutely. So we create, do you know what I mean? Obviously, like the landing page, we've got all the information for it. And then there'll just be like a little opt-in box at the bottom to say, sign up here to join our 30-day challenge. And then, yeah, if they sign up and we've got that, you know, linked with ConvertKit so that we can start sending the emails out.
And what do you use for your landing page? Do you use something like Lead Pages?
We just got it. And don't quote me on that. I've just purchased it recently. So I don't want to misquote, but yeah, it's not Lead Pages. It's not Optimized Press. It was a new one I've never heard about before. So that was thanks to my web developer. So yeah, I let him do some research. But again, it works for us. But ConvertKit also has simple tools that you can use to create, you know, sign up options and things like that. So I guess it's another benefit of being with ConvertKit.
Yeah, because I just wanted to mention that because some people panic a little bit about how if they're not, you know, if they've got website shame, we've talked about this in another episode, you know, perhaps your website's not as kind of tip top as you'd like it to be and you're just having a relaunch or maybe you haven't got a website, maybe you're working just off your Facebook page at the moment or something, you can still do this. You can, a lead page basically is like a landing page, a web page. You can use lead pages, you can use Optimized Press or there's various other things out there where it's almost like, I mean, lead pages now has got drag and drop. So you can create a reasonably, I don't love the look of lead pages to be fair, but it looks okay, a kind of landing page that's a template basically. So you can just like pop all your information in there and it's got a sign up box and you can link it up to your email provider. So all of this stuff is, you know, it does take a little bit of getting your head around, but a lot of people wouldn't do a challenge, I think, that I know, because they'd be like, oh, well, my website isn't good enough, or maybe I haven't even got a website yet. But actually, you could do a challenge if you were just launching your business, I guess, as long as you've got some means of collecting people's email addresses and you're getting out there and getting in touch with people.
Yeah, and if you're, do you mean, are providing them with meaningful content that they're going to connect with, you know? So absolutely, I would say to anyone, don't shy away from it. Again, scale it down. If you think, oh my goodness, 30 days, how am I going to do that? You know, I'm still working full time or whatever. I encourage you just to start on a 5-day challenge. I think, again, once you give it a go once and you see the positive outcomes from it, I think as I am now, I'll be starting my fourth one. And I guess the benefit by that is I will launch the ones that I've already launched once every quarter. So once you've done the work, I guess, which is a lot of work, I'll be able to roll them out every single year without having to really do a lot, you know, of really anything.
I was going to ask about that because when I see people who do regular challenges like Jada Selner, it seems, I think in her case, it's twice yearly, I think, or three times yearly. And so, you know, it's coming around again and there's a bit of buzz and build up. And I guess that's kind of all part of it as well. There's a few other things I wanted to ask you. You mentioned when you, in your amazing pitch you sent to me, which is really great because Angela, she read my post on how to pitch pitch yourself as a podcast guest and said this most amazing pitch. In fact, I ought to share it because it was so good and it told me everything I needed to know. It made me, you know, think brilliant, that would be perfect. But so you mentioned in your pitch that you can make revenue you can talk about how you can make revenue from your challenge. So how have you made money from yours?
So obviously, because I'm a product base, with the Christmas challenge, it was a great opportunity. So, you know, we talked about that format. So provide the reader with a task for the, you know, what could they do day one, bake sugar cookies. And then obviously I also had a sugar cookie recipe on my website. So it again led to more traffic being like staying on my site versus taking it away off my site. But what I did there was, is I also put Christmas product idea of the day. So then I was able to, for 30 days, use that same space that was going out to all these people to sell my product, you know, and it fit. However, when I did my next one, which was creating childhood memories, connecting 30 days, 30 ways to connect with your family, I chose not to include my product on that because I felt it wasn't the right platform. Other things that people have started to, now that they're seeing my challenges and I'm working with some sponsored content I'm writing, is some people are now going, can we pay to be in your 30-day challenges? We want to be the only business in there. So obviously I'll do my, you know, actionable task and then they would have space, do you know what I mean, on that email mail out, I guess, and also on the blog. So, I mean, they're really getting space, 30 days worth of space to an audience that not only just goes to my email of those people that have signed up for the challenge, but obviously because I promote it on Facebook too, not everyone on Facebook will have signed up for my challenge. And because I'm also promoting it on my Instagram page, not everyone from Instagram. So really from an advertising point of view, those advertisers are getting it from three separate platforms.
And so is that mainly how you've made money out of yours, through advertising or did you sell your ebook?
Yep. So that's the first point, I guess, is that you can utilize it as an advertising space. I haven't gone there to advertise yet, but I mean, we've been contacted to be able to do that. So we're looking at that for future. We need just to make sure that it's the right balance. But for me, in the 30-day Christmas challenge, by promoting one of my products every day, we definitely saw high conversion rates with that. So that was a positive. Then once the challenge, obviously we've written the 30-day content, I literally take that exact same content and format it into an ebook. So once the challenge is done, people obviously have 30 different emails with all of our information. But then I send, thank you for participating in our challenge. What was the one thing that you took away? People will then email us back. But then a couple of days later or a week later, I then go, by the way, we're offering, our ebook. Instead of $9.95, we're giving it away for $4.95. And that was another tactic that I've learned from Jada, who did that with Simple Green Smoothies. Right. So again, if people go, oh, but it's only $4.95. But I think in Jada's case, she sold $8,000 worth of ebooks, within the first week. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure it was definitely $8,000 she made. Wow. By people going, yep, no worries. I'm happy to pay $5. So again, it's just with the ebook, you can then turn it in and get it formatted for Kindle and you can have it on Amazon. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do with that content that you're writing.
So mainly for you, it's through the ebook, but also you've got that potential in the future for advertising. And I'm just thinking, as you were talking, could you use a challenge in the run-up to a launch? Because thinking, say, for example, if I was launching a new coaching program or I was having a kind of relaunch of my membership site or something like that, could a challenge work as part of a launch, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you just have to brainstorm and flesh out exactly how those two would go hand in hand. I guess for me, I can use an example that in our last one that we've just done, the 30 days, 30 ways self-care challenge for mothers, is that after my launch, so it's just ended on June the 1st is when it ended, and that we're getting ready to send out our big email to everyone, which will obviously include the ebook, but I've also made it a workbook to go with that. And I'm also starting, some one-on-one coaching. So I think absolutely, again, if you think about how that will look and it's not too salesy, I think you can definitely complement that in there.
Okay. And you've talked a little bit about kind of following up on it. I guess you want to keep these people with you for your next challenge. How have you kept people warm and kind of kept them with you?
Yep. So questions are really, really good. So I'll slightly go back to when we start to promote the challenge. One of my first emails to people is, tell me, again, in the 30-day self-care challenge, I said, tell me one thing you're struggling with and I will respond to every email. And I had 300 of the under 1,000 people email me back. So, there I am. And I'll keep my promise. But those same people, then when I ended the challenge, I said, how did it go for you? Are you still struggling with the same thing? Flick me an email back. And roughly about the same number of people email me back. So I guess the fact that I'm able to make those connections, I'm not paying a VA to go and do that for me. That's one thing that I thought was really important that I did that. Again, I'm keeping them warm. So by the time I go and, provide them with my next sequence, so that was the response back. And then after that, I've had a few more emails going, now that a week's passed, I hope you guys are still settling in. Don't forget to, reflect back on this, blah, blah, blah. And then obviously I'll go in for the hard sale this upcoming week with the ebook, the workbook, and then the one-on-one coaching.
Wow. Okay. Well, you've shared so much useful advice. That's just been amazing. And it certainly fired me up and I've got loads of ideas. So where can we find you if we want to know more about you?
Yes, you can find me at Finley and Me, which is www.finley, and that's spelled FINLEEANDME.com.au. Or for any of you, if you're struggling or you're having any questions or you're kind of going, oh my goodness, my brain is fried, please feel free to reach out at my email address and I'll respond to you personally, which is info@finley.com.au. Because I'd love to help you guys get through some of those challenges and get you guys up and going.
Oh, brilliant. And I will link to all of that in the show notes as well. So if you want to follow up with Andrew and find out more, then you can do. And thank you so much. It was just like so much good information, so much to think about. And one other thing I meant to mention, actually, when you were talking about the graphics and you said you outsource yours, I'm sure lots of listeners know, but things like PicMonkey and Canva, you can create those images yourself quite easily. But I mean, I'd be with you on that, Angela, that I outsource mine because I don't think mine look very good. So.
Yes.
So yeah. Well, thank you so much for that. It's been really fascinating and it certainly got me fired up. I've got all sorts of ideas now. So thanks for that.
Yeah, no worries. Well, thank you for having me and I hope you have a lovely day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray.
If you enjoyed the show, why not head over to my Facebook community? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.